Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson for today is a continuation of last week's gospel lesson from John chapter 15. Last week we did John 15, 1 through 8. This week we are doing John 15, 9 through 17. And in order, since these build off of one another, I'd like to just quickly review what we talked about last weekend. John 15, 1 through 8, we talked about that had four key words, and we defined the meanings of those words or those images that Jesus used. Based on John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So we talked about that last week and said, the vine is Jesus because he is the source of all life, physical and spiritual life. And we must remain connected to him in order to experience that life. We are the branches who need to be connected to Jesus. And we are connected to Jesus through, number three, the word. We abide through the word. Why? In order that we may bear fruit. And the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace, and the other fruits of the Spirit that's mentioned there in Galatians chapter 5. So, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, we abide through word and sacrament, and when we do that, we will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, bear fruit. We will have more love, more joy, and more peace in our lives. Now, Jesus continues with it, and he especially focuses on love and on joy. He says in John 15, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And then he talks about love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's what I want to focus on today. I want to focus on what it means to love the same way Christ loves us. What does Christ's love look like? Well, in John 15, he shares with us about his great love for you and for me. And I want to share with you four important characteristics of the love of Christ. Number one, Christ's love is sacrificial. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You know, the great 1980s philosopher Whitney Houston said, the greatest love of all is to love yourself. Really? Is that the case? The greatest love is to be a total narcissist, a self-absorbed, self-centered person? I don't think so. You know, the Bible has much better definitions of love that you and I can turn to. There are lots of great chapters in the Bible you can turn to if you want to know what love is. For instance, 1 Corinthians 13, a famous one right at weddings. Beautiful definition of love. 1 John chapter 4. We'll be studying 1 John in Bible study starting next week. 1 John chapter 4 gives an incredible description of love. Of course, John 15, what we're looking at here today. Jesus himself tells us what love is, and he sums it all up in one perfect sentence. John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In other words, love is sacrificial. If you want to know how much you actually love someone, don't ask yourself, how do I feel about that person? Feelings are a bad barometer. They're a bad gauge. Feelings are not reliable. They change daily, sometimes by the hour. They go up and down depending on whatever's happening in your life at the time. Now, if you want to know how much you actually love someone, ask yourself this. How much am I willing to lose for this person? How much am I willing to give up for this person? How much am I willing to sacrifice for this person? That will tell you exactly how much you love someone. Love is sacrifice first and foremost. That when you're willing to sacrifice, that's when you really love someone. This weekend, we celebrate Mother's Day, and I believe it is right that we do so. Because one thing all of us have in common, we all have mothers. And they all should be honored. In fact, God thinks so. God thought it was so important that we honor mothers, he made a commandment out of it. The fourth commandment tells us to honor our father and our mother. Now, mothers are amazing examples of sacrificial love. The work, the effort, the time and love it takes to have children and then raise them is tremendous. It's not easy. It's hard work. And of course, mothers give up so much for the sake of their children. They show their love through their many sacrifices. Now, we could never repay our mothers, I'm sure, for all that they have done, but we can honor them, and it's right to do so. We should honor those who make sacrifices for it, whether it's our parents or members of the military, or, of course, the one who's made the greatest sacrifice of all, our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for you by dying on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. And he didn't die in vain. He died for a reason, so our sins might be forgiven and that we might have the gift of eternal life. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4, verse 10. Jesus showed us from his life and especially by his death that love is a lot more than just a feeling. Love is about sacrifice. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for you because of his incredible, amazing, and limitless love for you. The greatest love of all is the love of Jesus Christ, bar none. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ did for you. So number one, the love of Christ is sacrificial. Number two, the love of Christ builds a relationship. Now, again, when we talk about love and real love, the word is agape in the New Testament. It's different from romantic love or brotherly love. It's the love of God in our lives. Love, that kind of love, agape love, always builds something. It's always building a relationship with someone. When you really love someone, you don't want to just be a casual acquaintance. You don't want to be just an associate or one of their list of contacts in their social media. No, love is about building a relationship, a close relationship, a friendship with someone else. And that is exactly what Jesus desires with you. John 15, verse 15 says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends." Now, I want you to think just for a moment about that verse, about what a mind-blowing verse that is, about the truth that that verse reveals about how our Lord feels towards you. This is what that verse is saying. The Lord of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords just said to you, "You know, I don't want you to be my servant. I want you to be my friend." There is no greater honor in all of the world that can be given to you than the Lord of the universe himself saying to you, "I want you to be my friend." And Jesus means it. He's already proven himself to be your best friend by his sacrificial death on the cross. Greater love is no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friend. There's no doubt about that. Jesus is your best friend right now. But he wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want you just to work for him. You know, a lot of people think that God calls us to be servants, employees of his heavenly kingdom. Now, that is partly true in the sense that, yes, God does want us to serve. It's partly true, but it's not the whole truth. The truth is much more amazing, much more profound. Jesus is not interested in you becoming a servant so that you can be employee of the month in heaven. That is not the kind of relationship he wants. He wants to be best friends. He doesn't want a serving out of a sense of duty. He wants a serving out of a sense of love and friendship with him. No longer do I call you servants. Instead, I have called you friends. Again, let that sink in. Take time to think about that today, that the Lord of the universe himself has asked to be your friend. Jesus is not interested in what you can do for him. Jesus is interested in you, period. I don't call you servants. I call you friends. Real love, God's love, the love of Christ, is number one, sacrificial. Number two, it builds a relationship. And number three, it takes the initiative. Love is not reactive, it is proactive. And the love of Christ is definitely one that takes the initiative. It gets things started. John 15, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. We don't choose Jesus. He chooses us. We don't decide to follow Jesus. He decides to call us to follow him. We don't decide to be Jesus' friend. He decides to be friends with us. It always starts with Jesus. He is the man of action. He is the man who makes things happen. And when it comes to our salvation, he didn't wait for us to ask for his help, to come up with a plan or go through our options. He saw our need and he took action, because that's what love does. Love always takes action. Love is always proactive. Love always takes the initiative. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10. And then in verse 19, it says, we love because God first loved us. There's a definite order to these things. It always starts with Jesus. He is the vine. We are the branches. He loves, and then we respond to his love. Love always takes the initiative. It doesn't wait for things to happen. Love makes things happen. And number four, the love of Christ changes life. It changes everyone's lives. First of all, it changes our lives here on earth. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. The right response to the love of Jesus Christ in our lives is that we start loving others the same way Jesus loves us. That's what Jesus wants. That's his command. That's what he asks us to do. Not out of duty, but out of love, out of a response to his love. Not out of a sense of duty, but out of a sense of friendship. Jesus wants us to love other people the same way he loves us. How does he love us? Well, that's what we've been talking about. What is his love? His love is sacrificial. It is a sacrificial and forgiving love, and our love for others must be sacrificial and forgiving. We must love the way he loves us. We must forgive the way he forgives us, and we must be willing to make the sacrifices that show people how much we love them. Second of all, it needs to build relationships. It is a love that builds relationships with others. It's not about how many friends or acquaintances you can get on social media. It's about building real relationships with real people. And third of all, it's a love that takes the initiative. It is not reactive, it is proactive. It is looking for ways to show love to other people. The Lord wants us to love people in the same way he loves us. Why? So that our joy might be like his joy, so that our joy might be full. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Do you see what Jesus wants for your life? He wants the fruit of the Spirit. He wants you to be filled with joy and to have loving relationships with other people. But of course, the love of Christ doesn't just change our life here on earth. It changes our eternity. When I say the love of Christ changes everything, I mean everything. It changes you from the inside out. It changes every relationship you have in your life right now. But more importantly, it changes your eternal destiny. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why? To save us from sin and give us everlasting life. God so loved the world that he sent his one and his son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. God's ultimate goal is not merely to change our earthly life, but to change our eternal destiny so that we might have eternal life through him. The love of Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, is what makes all of that possible. Because of what Jesus did for us by dying on the cross and rising again, we have an eternal life. We have forgiveness of sins. And we will be with our best friend Jesus forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.